cleaning and purifying us. And we ask you also for the Holy Spirit to be here, to continue talking to our hearts, and to continue blessing us, so that way we can continue growing with you in relationship. So we declare also that you are speaking today to the church. Speak to me also, and please be you, not me. Like always, I don't want to talk about my own understanding. I want to talk about you. So we're going to share your scripture, and we believe and declare that your scripture, your word, is the one that is going to be transforming our life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Okay, so in continuation of last weekend, that we talk about who is Jesus, so we're going to continue talking about who is Jesus today. And we know and we saw that John 14:6 is talking about that Jesus Christ mentioned his own words, saying, "He is the way, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." So today we're going to talk about the truth, because he's talking, he's the truth. And there's some good scriptures here that bless my life, and I believe that it's going to bless also your life, and it's going to help us to continue believing more in Jesus Christ and building that relationship that we need with him. So let's go really quick to John. Let's go to John 12. Hallelujah. John 12:12, and this is the celebration of today's day, Palm Sunday. John 12:12, it says, and we're going to start from verse 12. Yeah. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. Let's just leave it over there for now. As it was written. That's the point of this. Why Jesus Christ is the truth. He say himself, "I am the truth." But he is the truth because he fulfilled the promises. He is the truth because he's the fulfillment of what it was written. So he was the word in life, in flesh, walking on the earth. That's why he put himself as, "I am the truth." Because he fulfilled that. You and I, we born in this flesh, and sometimes, or most likely, the majority of our time, we struggle to fulfill the word of God. Why? Because when we look at the definition of truth, it means conformity of things with the concept that the mind forms of them. Conformity of what is said with what is felt or thought. You and I, we grow differently. We grew differently. We have different cultures, different mindset, different style of life or communication, name it. Because our fathers teach us something specific, and we put that in our minds. And we right away believe it and say, "This is truth. If anyone tell me something different, I'm not going to believe it." At the beginning, right? And then we keep progressing in life, growing and learning other stuff. And then challenges start happening against those thoughts, those learnings that we get from our childhood. And that's what is formed over there in our head, in our thoughts. That's creating conformity in our mind, saying, "I don't know if I can believe on this stuff. I don't know if that's true. Because what I learn is what is my truth. But sometimes it's not necessarily truth what you learn from your parents, or maybe from a friend, or maybe from a TV show, or maybe from a coworker, or maybe from anything in life. Maybe it's not truth. And that's the point of this, because truth, you might have the good intention of doing something, but maybe the end of that intention is not good. You have the good heart to do something. That's a good intention. But maybe the end of what you are doing, it might be not good. It might be not truth. So that's things that we are going through our life facing every day, that we think that our truth, what we believe when we grew, or what we put in our mind, is the truth. And anything else beside that is not true. It's a lie. And that's why we keep learning and reading and studying and seeing experience from other people. And it's because it happened over there, it might be also truth. But what is the real truth in your life? Are you really believing in those things outside externally here? Or are you really believing what God is stipulating in the Word? Because that's the real truth. And the truth is always against the lie. Against that situation that is happening in your life that is a lie, that is not true. It's always facing you, facing me every single day. So that way we can go through that route and not through the one which is Jesus Christ, the truth, the reality, the one that is really solid, that is not moving to any other place. It's just consistent. Which when we learn what is the meaning of that word in Greek and in Hebrew, the word Greek for truth, it means without hiding. It's not hiding. When you don't hide stuff in your life, that's reality, that's truth. So what you learn in your life, what I learn in my life, it is something that it has something over there that is hiding something that we don't know yet, or maybe we don't understand it. If what you learn and you experience in your life or getting from other people and putting all together, the pieces all together, well, this person say this, and, or I saw that, and then when I put that together with my childhood, what I learned from this or what I read from this book, it doesn't make sense to me. And because it doesn't make sense to me, for me it's not reality. For me it's not truth. And that's the concept that we're living every single day. But Jesus is showing us that he is the truth. Why? Because he did everything as it was written. Are you doing everything as it's written in the Bible? And that's the challenge. Because when we understand and learn that we are not capable to do everything as it was written in the Bible, then I can go through Jesus Christ. Because he did it. He's the truth. He is the reality here. He's the one. So I trust in him. I have the confidence in him. And I look through the gospel, what he did, how he managed everything. And then I will try to continue doing the same thing. We need to do that. That's how we call us Christians. Because we are walking or trying to walk as or like Jesus Christ walked on the earth. And that's why he is the truth. But I like to show you guys really an interesting thing, because when he say, I am the truth, when he get into Jerusalem, these people get over there because the celebration. There was a lot of people. So Jesus Christ, as a strategy, he said, let me go over there. Everyone already hear about my name. This happened after he just wake Lazarus from the death. So he resurrect Lazarus, right? We know the story. So now people are listening, wow, this is a big, big, big miracle. We saw a lot of miracles from Jesus Christ. Some people that they don't have, that they were blind, received the sight, or they can see now. People that cannot walk, they can walk. The lady with the blood situation, you can name it. There's a lot of them. And everything, it was according as it was written. There's a lot of scriptures from the Old Testament that reflect in the New Testament with Jesus Christ. And that's why he was the truth. Now, in another compliance of that or fulfillment of that promise, he get in through Jerusalem. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly." This is a prophet. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Old Testament, Jesus Christ was not on the earth on that moment. And he fulfilled that. As it was written, "I am the truth. I am here showing you that I fulfilled that promise." And now he getting into the Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna, the palms, everything, which he represents victorious. And now he's over there. Everyone is calling him the King of Israel. But all those people were not calling him the King of Israel when he was over there on the cross, right? We know the story. Because that was popularity. That was outside, external. That was people by the emotions. They were not seeing the reality of he was the truth. Incarnation of the word of God. He was walking into Jerusalem in compliance with that word from Zechariah. And a lot of other scriptures that we can mention and say that he was fulfillment of those promises. Let's go really quick to John 18. Yes, John 18, 28. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas, thank you, to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law, not mine, not the one social over there, civil, not mine, your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone." They objected. "I want to execute Jesus Christ. I just want to get this done." But they don't have the right to do that. It was the Romans on that time. So in order to execute Jesus Christ, they have to present it to the governor so that way they can execute him. But they have to show proof. They have to show what is the reason that you want to crucify this guy or kill this guy. Pilate then went back. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied, "Your own people and chief priest handed you over me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants will fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Hallelujah for that one. "You are a king then?" say Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born, I came into the world, is to testify to the truth." You got it? "Everyone on the side of truth, listen to me." Which side are you are right now? Are you listening to the lies of the enemy? or are you listening, or me, are we listening the truth of Jesus Christ? The Word. Because if you are doing that, you are in His sight. If we are listening to the light of the enemy, then we are on His side, and we will talk about that later. Then, this is Pilate replying or retorted back to Jesus Christ. What is truth? With this, he went out again to the Jews, gathered there, and say, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews, Jesus Christ? They shouted back, nope, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. What a blessing. Why this conversation happened? Why about truth in that moment? So imagine, Jesus Christ faced 6 trials that day in 18 hours. First of all, he went to the priest. He was not the priest in that moment. It was, sorry if I'm pronouncing wrong, but it's Annas. It was the priest that, it was the priest before, but now he's not the priest. The priest, it was Caiaphas. But the first trial, it was in front of Annas, which he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. So he was facing that first trial. And they couldn't find any lie on Jesus Christ. They couldn't find any reason to punish him. So they start using unrighteousness to Jesus Christ, finding from whatever reason, for whatever they thought, to punish him, to present it to the governor so that way he can be crucified and dead and kill him. The second one, Caiaphas, then again in the morning with the whole leaders, religious leaders, 3 trials, religious. Then after that, they present him to the legal law, which he was the governor in that moment, Pilate. The number 5, it was with Herod. Thank you. And then the last one, he went back to Pilate again. That was 6 trials that he had to face in 18 hours before they decide to, no, let's crucify him. So now, have this picture. You are in 6 trials. And the truth is over there. The truth, it is in the trial right now. And they are telling to the truth, you're wrong. You have to die. We have to punish you. You are guilty. Why? I did everything as it was written. I complied with everything. I fulfilled everything. Jesus didn't open his mouth because he knew. He was the truth. He was over there. And then he's facing these people, the liars against the truth. They don't have any reason. The same Pilate noticed that and say, I don't find anything. He's not guilty. But then Pilate have to face also his responsibility of, number 1, release someone over there for that time, and number 2, also to do what the people are asking him, because otherwise it can create a riot over there and it will create a mess. So he have a role and responsibility, so he also was thinking about that. So he said, I have to do something. If not, there's going to be a problem over here with the people in the town. And there's people here in celebration. So now Jesus Christ is over there, trial, and any of these 6 trials, they couldn't find anything. So now we're facing the unrighteousness with the righteousness. And I'd like to share with you guys really quick. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Because Jesus, the righteous, was being judged by the unrighteous. The sad fact is that the latter always persecute the former. And we will talk a little bit about Cain and Abel. The link between truth and righteousness and between falsehood and unrighteousness is demonstrated by a number of examples in this New Testament verse that I want to share with you guys. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. It says, "For this reason, God sent a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie." Who sent it? "And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness." Difficult, right? Okay. God sent that, but this is not an excuse to say God is wrong or he's bad. Everyone on the earth have a reason or opportunity, sorry, I should say, to receive the gospel, to receive Jesus Christ in your life, the truth. Everyone. The last minute to decide something is going to be you. Individually. Us. Now, the understanding of this, if we like, let's go over there, 2 Thessalonians. I didn't include it over there. Sorry, Jaili. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Because when it says, "for this reason," you have to go back to see what is the reason. Right? So that way we can understand it a little bit better. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then let's go from verse 9 to understand what is the context before that verse. He says, "The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved." I didn't say it. The scripture says over there. They decide to believe the lie. You and I, we're facing this every single day, guys. Church. Every single day. How many lies are we going through every single day? There's stuff in our life that we are keeping hiding. That we don't want to just release it and open our hearts with God and say, "You know what? I'm done with this. I don't want to continue lying. I don't want to continue living this lie. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to receive Jesus Christ. I want to have Jesus Christ in my house, in my family, in my work, everywhere. Because he's the truth. He's the real one." For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion. What I expressed from 9 and 10. Because they believe in the lie. They want to believe in the lie. Because the enemy of our souls is always, from the beginning of our childhood, presenting experiences in our life. Trying to discourage us. Trying to punish us with other things and anything like that. That's why he wants to do that, because he wants you to believe his lie, so that way you can go through that path and not Jesus Christ, which is the one that you're going to be safe, which is the one that is the truth, the reality. That's what he's been doing always. And he's going to continue trying. But the last thing is what we are doing in order to continue believing in God, in Jesus Christ. Romans 1:18, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." Romans 2:6, "God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth, and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Simple. For those, you and me. It's on the table. What you are deciding for your life. Believing in Jesus Christ and continue moving in that truth, or in the light of the enemy. You will see the consequences. It says over there. 1 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6. It does not dishonor others. Love. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Hallelujah. We got to stop self-seeking, because our self-seeking is based on what we learn. Now, the challenge will be the mindset that we have today, you and me, based on what we learn, based on what we study, based on everything, childhood, when we grew, everything. Are that in accordance with God? Are that in accordance with the Bible? Yes or no? If it is, okay, we're good. And if it's not, then you are self-seeking. You're doing it because your mind, what you think is truth, but it might be not truth. Genesis 4:6. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." You know the rest of the story. He killed his brother. He decided to go by the path of the sin, self-seeking, because my truth, Cain, it is that I offer you, for me, the expectations, what I thought that you will accept them better than my brother. Pay attention. God is saying over there, if you do what is right, you will not be accepted. The right thing, he was not killing his brother. Love his brother. It was the right thing. Not self-seeking. If he will go that path, he will be accepted. But no, he decided to do self-seeking. No, I want to kill my brother. He don't have the fault. He presented also his best worship to God. He also presented the best that he had. But God liked that one better, so it's okay. Let's continue. Let's move forward. Let's remove the self-seeking and seek what he wants. If he liked my brother's presentation of worship to God, good. Praise God. Worship God. Let's continue. With that, he will be accepted. Or he was going to be accepted, but he did not decide to do that. That's unrighteousness versus righteousness. And sometimes we get into that point, unfortunately. But we keep learning, and that's why God is talking in our life. Because I believe that in the Bible, when Jesus Christ was over there in those trials, he was not getting the judgment. I think Pilate and the religious people was getting judged over there in that moment, because he's the truth. He's the truth. He was not getting judged. They cannot see that because they were self-seeking. But in reality, they were getting judged. And as you guys know, at some point, we will face that judge, Jesus Christ. He's going to be our judge when we face him face to face. At some point, we will do that. So indirectly, in that moment, he was not being judged. They were being judged by the truth. And wait, because they don't have anything else, any arms to respond, they start just bringing lies. Let's go to John. Let's go to John 8. And I want to share with you guys really quick 3 points over here. 8:31, you guys know the story, right? Jesus Christ talking once again to the Jews who have believed him. Specific. If you and I here, we believe in Jesus Christ, he's talking to us right now. If you hold my teaching, number one thing, hold Jesus Christ's teaching. Hold it. Persist in that. Be consistent. Which is the meaning of truth. Persist. Maintain your walking in that teaching of Jesus Christ. Second point. You are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. If you persist in Jesus Christ's teaching, if you hold his teaching in your life and in your on your heart, you will know the truth, which is him, which is fulfill his word. That's what he did. That's why he's the truth. And the last one, it is, and the truth will set you free. Three things. Hold the teaching that will bring you the knowledge of the truth, and that will set you free of the lie of the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise God. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been a slave of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." In other words, when you hold his teaching, Jesus Christ's teaching, you know now the truth. Now that truth will set you free. Now you are a son of God. Hallelujah. And now you will be there forever, because a son will not just get in out of the house. The son will be there forever, forever with my father. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in my father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father. They answered, "If you were Abraham's children," say Jesus, "then you will do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things." The same thing. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protest. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil." Another one difficult. "And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. for there is not truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Who can do that, right? Nobody over there can do that. If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Tough, right? It's a difficult one. But that's the enemy, the devil. He's a liar. And we're facing that every day. You don't deserve that. You deserve the punishment that you are receiving. Those thoughts, right? Your family is going through this situation, and you start like, oh. And God is telling you, why? Just do the good thing. You will be compensated. Continue believing in God. Continue believing in him. He will set you free. He will bring that joy. He will bring that miracle in your life. Jesus Christ is the truth. Now, the Jewish people, at the end, the Jewish people, they were over there seeing these two guys. And the governor was asking them, and every time of this festivity, I release one of them, or one for you guys. And you have this king of the Jews, Jesus Christ. Do you want to release him? I feel like Pilate was trying to, he's trying to find the way to do that, to save Jesus Christ. But anyway, he was the last authority to make that decision. So he did it anyway, right? Because then anyway, the people, they will say, no, release Barabbas, right? And it's funny because in that picture, you will see these two men. And then Barabbas, he was over there. He was a Jew also, or part of the Jewish people. And he was a rebellious guy that went against the Romans. So there were some Jewish people that they were in favor of Barabbas because he was doing something good for some Jewish people. So they say, release Barabbas. You guys know what does that mean, the name of Barabbas? Father's son. As you guys know in the Bible, always the name refers to something. Simon Peter, son of, right? There's a lot of them. According to history or the interpretation, it says that Barabbas, maybe he didn't have a father. That's why his name was Father's son. Because they don't know who Barabbas' father was. So just imagine these people, the Jewish people, release the father's son. building that relationship in everyone here, including me. We worship you. We declare you as our Lord, God, Father. You are everything in us. Thank you. We worship you, God. We remove any lies of the enemy. We remove any plans of the enemy. We don't want to have any part with him. Whatever he's trying to do in our life, we reject it. We remove it in the name of Jesus Christ. We want you, God. We want your Holy Spirit. We want your word in us. Help us to continue walking on that and believing in that. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Would you guys stand for one?